Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. This episode is brought to you by Lana Del Rey, or whatever. I'll just stand here pouting and look detached. And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome, MacGuffin Men. I'm Alex. James is out on an assignment this week. He is begging for money because we are taking donations. You can go to our website, click on the top right corner, say where there's a button that says donate, and you can give us money if you want. We're trying to launch a video podcast, and we need money to do so because we want it to be high quality. But enough of that. This week, we brought a guest into the studio. The first woman we've ever had on the MacGuffin Men. You may recognize her voice from all of the intros to all of the episodes. She is the MacGuffin Men pop music expert. Emily, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
So how's it going?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah. We're here to talk about pop music today. You like pop music more than James in that you like pop music. So, figured we'd have you on.
I love pop music.
Yeah. And I also do. I am sometimes depressed at how little I'm able to keep up with it. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way where I can keep up with top 40 radio without listening to the radio. Like, I figured there has to be like an American top 40 podcast, like the Ryan Seacrest countdown, but there is not. And like, there's no way to download it. I got to figure something out because I don't listen to the radio or anything, you know?
Yeah.
I'm too new media.
I think it is very radio based. Like, all I can think of is go to a radio station and see like website and see their like top
exactly
hits of the week or whatever.
But then I don't have to like YouTube them all. I want to be able to put like a 4-hour radio show on my iPod when I'm just out and about, you know? Cause that's when I listen to the majority of my music. But anyway, we just sort of got a list of pop music artists that we are going to talk about. The first on our list here is Lady Gaga. What do you think about Lady Gags?
Lady Gaga. That's kind of a complicated question because she's gone, her career has been, you know, she started being kind of a fairly normal pop star and just is completely different now. So
yeah, like the poker face video is barely different than a Kesha video, isn't it? Like a house party, or is it no? Just Dance is a house party. On the
video, it's a house party. And fun fact for those who may not know, Lady Gaga's concerts in Toronto history. One of her first shows was at a nightclub in Toronto. I think it was called Cirque. It doesn't exist anymore. And it was
she shut it down.
Basically. And it was terrible. I knew some people that went and they were just very, very disappointed. And I kind of laughed and thought, oh, this Lady Gaga, nothing's going to come of this.
And here we are, all the little monsters and such. Yeah. You're not a huge fan of Lady Gaga, right? Like, do you enjoy her music? Do you enjoy horror? I suppose iconography, or neither, or both.
Yeah. I think, you know, I have enjoyed her music. Her last album, maybe less so. I think it was generally less catchy, poppy kind of earworm stuff, and more of her trying to be a serious pop icon.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, I've listened to the whole thing when it came out, and it was almost like a comedy album. Like, the there are a couple songs with, like, giant Clarence Clemens sax solos, who's he's now dead, but he was the E Street Band saxophonist. And, like, it's just the whole, all, so many musical choices on that album are just, like, come out of nowhere and made me laugh out loud. But, I mean, you know, do your thing. But, yeah, I didn't love it. But
yeah, so that's musically. And I guess, I don't know about her whole, every video is 10 minutes and it's as insane as it can possibly be. It's definitely something. Like, I always watch them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always have an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Her, what was the video you showed me where she's basically like Andrew Dice Clay in a cornfield or whatever her male character is or androgynous character is.
Yeah.
And then she's also in a barn in a bath, I think, or something.
Yes, and she puts on her whatever her Italian male kind of character man is as well. Yeah, I don't like that song very much, so I don't remember what it's called.
It's not a very good song. Yeah. Do you think her career is still sort of, like, do you think she's plateaued? Do you think she has higher places to go? Do you think she's on the downswing?
She definitely will crash at some point, I think. But I think there's always going to be those people that for the next, you know, 20 years or something are like Lady Gaga is my icon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't know if I'll know any of those people, but I think those people will exist. And they might pine for the glory days of Lady Gaga, but they'll still be diehard fans, which is impressive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, just the way having one idea, I think Lady Gaga's
her one idea is have all of the ideas.
Is every single icon she can portray, everything, you know, she tries to be very edgy, but sometimes I think the edginess is lost in a big sea of no one knows what's going on. Like her Judas video where the church came out and said, we're not offended because we can't tell what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a failure or just awesome or what, but.
Yeah. I don't know what any of her videos have supposed to be. Like the ones that I've seen, and I feel like I've seen most of them, but I don't know what any of them are supposed to mean. And I don't know that Lady Gaga really does. I think she makes things up as she's being interviewed. She comes up with ideas for these things.
Probably,
she's like, well, this video we shot 2 months ago, it's really about Vietnam, I think, and all these things.
I saw a really weird interview with her with Ben Mulrooney.
Really?
Yeah, and it was weird because they kept showing kind of behind-the-scenes clips of her, and she wanted to be his best friend. She was, like, acting towards him like they were pals, and it was extra funny because one of her breasts had fallen out of her dress. And they were just blurring the nipple. And I guess no one told her or she didn't care. And she just kept going. It was great. For a long time, too.
That is a very Lady Gaga-esque thing to do. Try to befriend possibly one of the most annoying television personalities. Well, you're going to find out that there's clearly no real order or thought put into this list of artists. In that the next person we're going to talk about is Adele. Thoughts on Adele?
Adele. Well, Adele has a beautiful voice, and I do love a lot of her songs. And my one kind of complaint with Adele music, although obviously I'm incorrect because she has the number one selling album ever for like the past few years, or it's just crazy how much music she sells.
If her album sales were adjusted for inflation, it would just be insane how many like albums she would have sold in 1990. You know, like she sold 17 million albums in 2010 or something like that, or 2011, sorry, of that 21 album. And that's crazy. Within a year, she sold 17 million albums, 17 million copies of 21 globally, which is ridiculous and unheard of. And in the iTunes era, you know, and the downloading era.
Yeah, so I really can't fault her at all. Although, it just kind of makes me, like, I think I would enjoy her music more. Although, am I running out and buying a copy of 21? Maybe not.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. Like, soccer moms like 21. And
yeah,
soccer moms are the people that buy albums.
Yeah. Which is really smart. But I've seen interviews with her talking about how her music is made. And, you know, it's all, you know, adult contemporary songwriters that get together with her and they churn out a song. And obviously that's a really great way to make songs and for her. But, you know, I always think about that, her first Hometown Glory.
Okay. No.
Oh, do you know this? Okay.
I don't know anything before 21.
Yeah. So 19, her big song from 19 was Hometown Glory, which is a really beautiful song, and you can tell there's a lot of her as an artist in it. And I felt a lot of 21 is like Fire to the Rain and just these songs that don't really make sense and are very like radio friendly, but their lyrics don't mean anything. They're just vaguely about love and loss and not someone like you. I'm not talking about someone like you because I know everybody loves someone like you, but there's a lot more songs on that album. And Yeah.
I just listened to the whole thing for the first time today, and I kind of like it. I mean, I think there are 4 really good songs in there, and the rest, you know, take it or leave it. But I think Rolling in the Deep is a pretty great song. And
yeah, Rolling in the Deep is the only song that she did with, like, an indie producer.
Oh, really?
Which is, I think, very obvious when you listen to the whole album. And it's an incredible song, but I just wish it was all like that.
Okay.
I guess that's what I want. It's ridiculous that when magazines have photo shoots of Adele, they slim her down a lot.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows the size that she is. Like, everyone can see her in her videos. Mm-hmm. Like, she does, like, you know, that's what she looks like. And the way that they slim her down on magazine covers is like, who is that?
Really?
You don't even know. Which I think is just strange, because I think she's very confident and is like, hi, this is me. This is what I look like.
Yeah.
And I think people respond to that. So I'm not sure why, you know, when she's on the cover of Cosmo, she's like shaved 100 pounds down, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm sure lots of people are like, this is really great that this woman who's not size 2 is making so much money with a pop career, but then we still have to Photoshop her, like, gone. Not just, like, a little bit. Not, like, touch up her face or her little chin dimple, you know? Like, all of her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. I always kind of hate when that happens, but I'm generally not a fan of liberal Photoshopping anyways.
Yeah.
Speaking of slim and smooth people, Justin Bieber.
Biebs.
Yeah. Thoughts on the Biebs.
Oh my God.
Canada's own.
Well, you know, he just reminds me of the, you know, male pop singers I liked when I was 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't think existed anymore.
He's a baby Usher, is what he is.
Is he, though?
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's trying to stay sort of hip-hop infused, or at least move in that way. And I think Usher, like, his contract is under Usher's label. Like, Usher signed him.
Yeah.
And I mean, Usher is bigger in America than people in Canada, I think, realize. Like, Usher is kind of a big deal, or at least was a bigger deal than I was always under the impression of. Until I found out like a year or two ago and was like reading things about him, and you know, he's just a bigger star than I thought. Maybe that was just my perception, but yeah, I don't know. Bieber's very, I see a mini white Usher. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I can't fault any young person for liking Justin Bieber or his music.
Yeah.
It's catchy enough and he's cute and he's a megastar, so why wouldn't you like him? The only thing about Justin Bieber that makes me upset is that he trends on Twitter, like, every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am on Twitter a lot as part of my job, and then I'm like, oh, Justin Bieber's trending again, you know? Like,
and it's always,
talk about something else, world.
It's always a good thing. Like, it's always a variation, or at least of 5 different things, like Bieber inspires me, or all love to Bieber, and just like a variety of things. And you get a lot of these for like Selena Gomez too. And like I've seen Bye Bionic, which is like Christina Aguilera's album, like trend 4 times. And that album's been out for like half a year. And it's just, Twitter trending topics are so fascinating to me. And then just, I always, that's how I waste time on the internet. I just click on Twitter topics and just read things. It's amazing.
Yeah, I guess it is entertaining when you do click on it, but it's just, I guess I don't have a good kind of idea when I think, oh, Justin Bieber, he's famous, but like he breaks the internet every day on Twitter. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really wanted him to be the father of that girl's baby.
God, that would have been amazing.
So badly.
Yeah, it was a good enough mini scandal as it was, but imagine if he was the dad.
So good.
Yeah, would have been ideal. Moving on to Bieber's buddy, fellow Canadian, Forest Hill resident, Drake, Audrey Graham, Aubrey.
Aubrey Graham.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on everybody's favorite sweater-wearing rap star?
I like Drake. I don't have any, you know, ill feelings towards Drake. His last album was, while interesting, not my favorite thing.
Okay.
It was definitely, I listened to it all and I was like, I enjoyed that, but I probably won't, this won't go on my rotation of music.
Yeah.
Whereas I will still listen to Over and Fancy, even though that's embarrassing. I will, because they're very catchy and I think, you know, they're good pop songs. Even though, you know, he's been criticized for that album being so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's the one that I'm listening to.
That song with Nicki Minaj is really good, too. The one that sounds like the Inception via hip-hop beat. It's just like up all night, something, something, something. But yeah, Over's pretty great. That beat's killer. And Fireworks is a good song, too. But yeah. I like his new album. I think it's all right. I think it's more musically good than as far as a rapper. I've never cared for him as a rapper. But He's got a good ear for beats. His producer, 40, who he's been friends with for a while, and like this sort of started up together. I like him a lot, and I like the really like spacious elements of his beats. You know, it all sounds like Pete Rock had, famous hip hop producer Pete Rock, put up this like instrumental album 10 years ago. It's called Pete's Instrumentals, and it had a song called Play This Only at Night. And that's what pretty much every good Drake song sounds like to me. And with the exception of like that single Headlines, pretty much everything on his album sounds like something that should only be played in the middle of the night. And I think it's interesting. It's an interesting, different direction for hip hop to go in. I just don't like him as a rapper, and it kind of bumps me out sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do hear the new Drake album on, let's say, when I'm shopping in like a cool vintage store or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely crossed over into, I don't think it's ironic to listen to the new Drake album.
Oh, God, no. No.
Right?
No,
whereas no. When you're listening to Fancy, it's obviously not, you know, there's a little bit of, okay, I have to understand that I'm listening to this ridiculous pop song.
I think Fancy was a legitimate hit, though, was it not? That was a single, and people enjoyed it.
Yeah, no.
It's because it was the, you fancy, huh? Everybody loved saying that, you know?
I still love saying
that. Yeah, well, because you fancy. And, yeah, if you, it's sort of like just have a good hook and your song will catch on. And if it's a single, then good for you, you know? And that's sort of what Fancy did, I thought.
Well, maybe his next album can be just, if he wants to cater to me, which I know that he does.
He's listening.
Drake.
Yeah.
I liked your ambient hipster album, but like mix that with a little bit of catchier, hooky kind of something that I can sing over and over again in my head. Yeah. I think that would make me happiest.
And stop trying to be tough, please, because it makes me sad. I love the song Lord Knows, but God, I hate your lyrics in it. It would have been a lot better with just Rick Ross, but anyway. Any more thoughts on Drizzy?
Drizzy. Oh, the video where he goes to, I don't even know what country he's in, but he's like trying to find that woman and he's like being really tough. And do you remember that?
Kind of. Is that even a Drake song or is that just a song he's featured on?
Find Your Love.
Find Your Love?
The Find Your Love video. Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't have anything good to say about this.
Yeah. Okay. But it was so ridiculous. Say bad things then.
It was just very, I guess as someone that knows like, oh, you know, Aubrey Graham from Forest Hill, Wheelchair Jimmy, going to, you know, this country with like getting involved in gang wars and drugs and like these women he has to save. And I was just like, no.
Yeah.
I don't buy that at all.
And he just looks so goofy. He looks way too goofy to take seriously. And not even like, I'm not even making fun of the wardrobe. I'm just making fun of like his weird goofy face, which he is a celebrity. He is handsomely paid. So we are able to make fun of him for his physical appearance and he's goofy looking. And if he takes offense to that, he can buy the rights to this podcast and shut us down. And I'll be totally fine to take that money. Moving on again to totally different direction. Britney Spears, possibly the biggest pop star of our, at least as long as we've been conscious of pop music, probably, right?
Yeah,
for the absolutely. Duration.
Yeah. Hit Me Baby One More Time blew my mind. I was like, Mom, what's this? And she was like, don't watch that. And I was like, I love it.
Mom, are you ready for the level of transcendence you're about to experience musically? Here's some baby one more, maybe one more time for you. Yeah, that was like one of the first, because I mean, Backstreet Boys and Spice Girls came out like a couple years before that song, right? Three at most.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but yeah, I feel like Baby One More Time was sort of the first like colossal hit once I was smart enough to realize how big of a hit it was, you know? Like, I knew the Backstreet Boys were popular because I heard them on the radio a lot. Whereas once Baby One More Time came out, I was, you know, aware that more things exist than just my radio, probably, you know? And she's had, like, big hits over span of, I guess it's 13 years now? Baby One More Time was 99, I think. Mm. Or maybe 98. And, yeah, she just keeps on going. Till the World Ends was, like, last winter, right?
Yes,
and she's got something now, too, I believe. I don't remember. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on her career and her music?
Well, she's been through a lot and come back very quickly,
yep.
which I think is crazy and maybe unheard of for a pop star. Like, I think maybe, I can't say this for sure, but anecdotally, I would think major pop star loses it, doesn't get it back. Christina Aguilera,
mm-hmm.
you know, like she was just as big as Britney and then kind of slowly, I know she has her diehard fans, but she hasn't had anything like Britney's had in the last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think if you compare the sales from Britney's last album to Christina Aguilera's, it's not particularly close. Because I think Britney Spears has more of a worldwide presence than Aguilera does.
Right,
I think that's
yeah.
a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, just going through very public divorce, 2 kids, going crazy and shaving her head and like coming back from all of that. Like I wouldn't have been surprised during that time to hear, you know, Britney Spears overdoses or is seriously ill or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And now she's just, I mean, she can't dance like she used to, but yeah. she's making hits.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, she's 10 years older. Obviously she can't dance like she used to, you know, like your knees deteriorate after doing all those, after like having sex with so many stadium floors, you know, like I saw part of the Toxic video the other day. You can't do that your whole life.
No,
you know, like,
no.
Your knees will start to hurt. You need to ice down after the video shoot.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't take great care of her joints.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not.
Another B who has been around for a while, Beyonce. Opinions, thoughts. Do you enjoy Beyonce's music generally?
Yes, I do. I still have Irresistible and If I Were a Boy mm-hmm. on my iPod, which is embarrassing, especially If I Were a Boy. Ridiculous song.
I really don't like that song.
I know. I don't know if anyone really does, but for some reason it just sticking with me.
Yeah. So you're more of a Beyonce fan than a Sasha Fierce fan, I suppose.
Well,
because that was the Beyonce side of things, as opposed to Single Ladies being Sasha Fierce.
Oh, so yeah. I mean,
I think that was part of that.
Single Ladies was fun.
Yeah,
it had its day.
It had a number of days. And I mean, few people have made a song as good as Crazy in Love over the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah. I didn't love any of her last album, actually. Then Girls Run the World or whatever.
Awful.
That song is terrible.
Yeah. She definitely, like, some of her songs I love so much, and I'm like, this is an amazing song. And then, well, there's a lot of misses for those few
oh,
hits.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's quite a substantial amount of misses, especially when you make like 2 album releases, like the Sasha Fierce thing.
Yeah. And you know, the the worst part about that album is that it was like, it was, you know, marketed as a double album, like I Am Sasha Fierce. And it was like a 12 song album. Both discs had like 6 songs on them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's
okay.
So true.
Oh my god, yeah. Look, okay, we're just on the Wikipedia page. The I Am side, not including deluxe editions, is 6 songs. And the Sasha Fierce side is 5. So there were 11 songs on this double album on the non-deluxe edition. So, you know, come on. 5, those are like, that's a double EP, you know, that's not a double album.
No,
and none of them
all.
Are particularly long. That was my big problem with that.
Yeah.
And my big problem with Beyonce is that she's always seemed like more obviously calculated than I think what she's trying to get across. Like I know Lady Gaga's super obviously calculated and every pop star is, but they're sort of like, I mean, Gaga's totally different because she's trying to be crazy and it's crazy how calculated she is. That adds up. But there's sort of a disconnect between what I feel like Beyonce actually is and what Beyonce thinks she is. And she doesn't do a good enough job of selling me the latter, you know, like her like angry face. I never buy the angry face and she does the angry face all the time.
No.
You know?
Well, I wonder with Mommy Beyonce now, what kind of new Beyonce we're going to see?
I don't know. A Beyonce holding a baby, I think. She's just holding a baby in all of her videos now. That's
still
just
doing the single ladies dance. Just holding a baby.
Maybe that's how she'll lose the birth weight. I don't know what you would call that, the weight you put on in pregnancy.
Pregnancy weight?
Yeah, she just does the single ladies dance all day.
Yeah. She could market that.
I love it. Lose the baby weight with Beyonce. Just do the single ladies dance 8 hours a day. Screw yoga lattes. Katy Perry is another superstar.
She is.
Who has a lot of hit songs. thoughts on Katy Perry?
I just read a really great article about her that basically was like, Katy Perry needs to stop being a goofy slut because it's getting tired, and all of her songs are very sexual, but in a very, like, I'm so adorable way. Mm-hmm. And that is maybe not a great, you know, we have all of our female pop stars that were very overtly sexual, and now it's very, like, infantilized.
Yeah.
Katy Perry, like, I'm making out with girls and having one night stands and wear pigtails and have big eyes, and, you know, like, yeah. When you think about it, it's a little bit creepier than just being like, I'm sexual, like the Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, she really does play up a lot of the big eyes, they really play that up. And yeah, it is kind of weird. Hopefully there are no more, like, California Girls videos. Not only because that was weird, but because it was also awful in about 1,000 different ways. And the... I don't know. Yeah. Something about her weirds me out, but I don't have a huge problem with her music. I think her music is mostly decently forgettable. I think I would actually like the one that got away if I never saw the video. I feel like I would like that song. But that video is awful.
Ugh.
It just makes me sad.
Yeah.
And not in the sad that it's trying to make me. You know, like, it's supposed to be this sad lost love and Diego Luna dies or something and everybody's bummed out about it. But, oh, the worst.
Yeah, really awful. I don't know. She, I guess, because she started her career touring with Warped Tour, like, I think maybe she was trying to have a different career and maybe somewhere along the line got swept up with some big producer that wanted to make her a pop star. She used to like tour. She used to be go on Warped Tour.
Really?
With like a band.
Well, I knew she has like the first album she ever put out was like a Christian album.
Yeah. She used to be kind of like Christian rock girl. And she did at least one Warped Tour. And it's just so weird to me that then that turned into the Katy Perry that we know today.
Yeah. No, I know. And it seems just sort of like, she seems like one of those people that was just sort of, I'm going to be famous. It doesn't really matter what I have to do. You know, like, I feel like there are comparisons for that, but it's just sort of whatever style will work. But I guess, I don't know, because maybe she wouldn't have started out trying to be like the female Jars of Clay if she wanted to be famous. You know, like...
I enjoy her friendship with Rihanna on Twitter.
It yeah?
makes me feel like I know them personally.
Yeah. It's good to know. What do you feel about Rihanna?
Oh, I love Rihanna.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do a lot. Hmm. Did you want me to not like Rihanna?
No.
Because
no,
I do.
I have no problems with liking Rihanna.
I love We Found Love too much. Like, it's one of those songs that I think has gotten a lot of, like, silly pop music people like me just wrapped up in, and we have to listen to it 17 times. I see, like, on fashion blogs, people are very like, we found love. Like, it's the pop song we're allowed to like, somehow. Yeah. I mean, she's gorgeous. And she's also kind of had a lot of years of mediocrity, and I think maybe now she can finally kind of carry an album without, you know, it more being about who's on her album with her, or what she is kind of, you know, she'll come in and do like a hook on another
rapper
song or something, and you'll like that, but her whole album, maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of Rihanna in general, like her music. I like her as a person. She seems like a cool person.
Mm-hmm.
But her music just has never done anything for me. I really like Umbrella, but I think most of that is... I like the drums on Umbrella a lot. I think they're really good. It's basically like a break, which I enjoy. But yeah, I have no problems with her being the person that all of my favorite hip hop artists want to get on their hooks, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm totally fine with that. And the world could be far worse off than having Rihanna as one of the biggest pop stars, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And she gave us the magnificent Ponder Replay video.
Is that the roll, or sorry, the roller rink one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to talk to the DJ.
That was so, like, that video always seemed so weird because it seemed like it should have existed 5 years before. Like, that was,
yeah, very
that
true.
Was like Britney Christina album one type of video.
Yeah.
It was the Drive Me Crazy video on wheels.
It was, except there were less people in that club / roller rink than Drive Me Crazy.
Yeah. It was, yeah, that was... I remember seeing that video and thinking, this is the end for this girl. This is going to be like,
yeah.
Who was that girl that had like the La-Di-Da song or whatever with like Busta Rhymes on it? I can't remember her name, whatever. I thought it was just going to be her and she was going to disappear again. And,
yeah.
But I was wrong and I'm fine with that. So maybe one day she'll have a throwback to that video and be in a roller rink with all of her fans and just skating in a circle and being, adore me fans, I'm Riri. Buy all my albums. Do we want to talk about Kesha?
I don't know. I feel like I've talked to you so much about Kesha.
We have talked about Kesha a lot, but I just don't know if she's relevant. You know, like,
is yeah, her... she's got to do something else.
I think her career is like done as far as like a pop star.
Yeah. When I hear her songs occasionally on the radio or something, I get kind of excited, but mm-hmm. She hasn't been doing anything. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, something came out, like, last January or something, and that was, like, We Are Who We Are EP, whatever that was called. It was, like, Animal or Cannibal, and whatever one was. Her album was maybe Animal, and the EP was Cannibal, and We Are Who We Are was a decent song, and TikTok was a pretty great song, but other than that, I don't know, I'm not particularly confident about Kesha's career. I feel like she might have a career not being a pop star, selling, like, 5,000 records, and... maybe caring, maybe not.
You know? Yeah, fair.
Speaking of people that I enjoy, I guess, more than maybe I should, Kelly Clarkson. How do you feel about Kelly Clarkson?
Since you've been gone.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, she's great. She is, as far as I'm concerned, the only really... good thing to come out of American Idol, like the only good, you know, actual career. I mean, I know Carrie Underwood, but I would say...
You weren't a big Ruben Studdard fan?
No, I can't say that I was. Yeah. But, yeah, she's had her ups and downs on her career, but she always comes out with that song that's like pretty good, makes you happy every like couple years. You get a new Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, the only album she has that doesn't have like a great single on it is My December, which is the album that came out after Breakaway. I don't even remember what the single was called on that album, but it was just sort of,
yeah,
it was her like, I'm doing what I want, Clive Davis, this is my rock album. And it just didn't have like a pop single on it, but pretty much everything else has like a really great song, at least, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like her whole style, like as a person. I enjoy her very public, not caring about her weight gains, yeah, and like fluctuating weight. I mean, it's a little contradictory in that weight always seems to be gone by the time it's time to do a video shoot, but you know, I'm perfectly okay with that if, you know, if she will otherwise say, yeah, I'm going to eat a couple donuts and I don't really care. You know, like I enjoy that about her a lot. And I don't know. I think she's a good person to have very present in pop music.
Yeah, absolutely. She seems like someone that would be a good friend, like just a good person generally, yeah, you know, like she seems genuine and always has that really catchy song that I sing embarrassingly to with the radio. So.
Yeah, no, I know. And like we just talked about Rihanna, and Rihanna's always seemed like a cool person to me. And like, I think Rihanna and Kelly Clarkson are the two people in pop music that I think just always come off as just extremely likable. And not even just for their music, just as the way they sell themselves as a person or like an entity. You know, I always just think they come off as super likable, and everything they say in interviews, I think sort of it flies with me. And, you know, I just enjoy her.
Yeah.
And Kelly Clarkson sort of got that Pink thing where it's very, I don't know. Pink is more female empowerment than Kelly Clarkson, but sort of standing up for yourself. And I enjoy having a famous woman saying things like that.
Because, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I Will Not Hook Up was a great, like, workout song. I was always like, yeah, I won't hook up. Like, Kelly Clarkson. But yeah, I mean, and they, Pink and Kelly Clarkson, I think, are two pop stars where when they make that song that's kind of like empowerment for women, I kind of believe them. It's not like the Pussycat Dolls, I Don't Need a Man, you know? Like, I do believe them, you know? Okay. Yeah. I don't hook up. Awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And just their general, I mean, I think Pink and Kelly Clarkson are similar in the way that they treat the way other people think of them, and that they at least talk about it like they don't care. Like Kelly Clarkson's first album off her new, or first single off her new album, the video is very self-reflexive and basically, you know, her standing in front of a wall with all these newspaper clippings about people making fun of her and stuff like that. And just the song's called Mr. Know-It-All. And anyways, it's a cool video and it's good times. And Kelly Clarkson's awesome. Speaking of somebody else that I really enjoy, Kanye West, what are your thoughts on Yeezy?
Ah, Yeezy.
Yeah.
I love Yeezy, generally. My thoughts on him. Well, I remember when Jesus Walks came out, and I was super goth at this point. And I remember watching the video and just being like, wow, this guy has balls. Like, he's just, like, making this really hard, awesome, like, pop song about Jesus, and the video is all fire, and I am not supposed to watch this video, but I am watching it. Don't tell the goth police.
Well, you don't seem particularly goth anymore, so maybe they found out and steadily changed your opinions in the night towards your gothiness. Yeah, I obviously love Kanye West. I think I've written about him, like, 14 times on the website. I'll probably write about him another 15 in the next year. I think as far as, I suppose, hip-hop's biggest star, probably, in that he's got, like, the most crossover appeal. I don't think he's the biggest rapper, per se. I think that's probably Jay-Z. And I think Drake is sort of challenging Kanye West's level of fame and, you know, general hugeness. But I think just the level of quality in the music is just so, so different between Drake and Kanye that I think Kanye has to have the edge. And he's got much more critical love than Drake does, I think. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just, like, more albums behind him.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, drastically different album to album. And Kanye's made, like, three incredible albums and one mediocre album and one pretty good album. You know? And I think that's pretty awesome for... And Watch the Throne. However you qualify Watch the Throne. That's, like, extra. Yeah. Mm. What do you think about Kanye as, like, a public figure, I guess?
Like, the way he presents himself?
Yeah.
And
has presented himself.
Well, I guess the way that he presents himself makes me think that he's kind of like, you know, he obviously has an ego and has a certain view of the world, probably just from being a huge star with money.
Mm-hmm.
But I get kind of a little bit of, like, a naivete, you know?
Yeah.
Like a little bit of innocence somewhere in that. His latest Twitter rant was about how he was going to build this arts collective, and it was just crazy. And it seemed so hopeful about the world. Yeah. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. To our listeners that don't know, I think, I don't know, this is like less than a month ago.
Early January. Yeah.
He couldn't sleep in London one night. And so he just starts tweeting about his new project, which is called Donda, named after his late mother. And it was all very vague, but it's going to change the world. And it, like, it encompasses everything apparently somehow. And I don't know. I was really excited to come home and find out that there was a Kanye West tweet on my timeline, let alone that it was a continuing stream of so Twitter rampage, which, made me happy. But I don't know. I think Kanye is extremely interesting, mostly because he's sort of, like, isolated himself from interviews and stuff. Like, it's extremely hard to get a Kanye West interview or appearance now, and nobody seems to have really noticed that he's kind of disappeared. People were like, oh, Kanye West doesn't tweet anymore, or tweet as often as he does anymore. But it's just, people still, like, what was the last notable public thing that he did where it was kind of crazy? It was the Taylor Swift thing, which is like 2.5 years ago now. And I think it's really cool that he's basically hiding himself for the most part until he decides he wants to put out some music or Donda or some sort of fashion line, which he did last year. And then he's just like, yeah, I'm here and I'll be here for a limited time. I will do this tour with Jay-Z and then I'll be gone again. And I think that's really cool. And I find it really interesting that nobody talks about it, but I guess there's not much to say other than he's just not around. Cause what can you say about his disappearance or.
Yeah. And I mean, I never really feel like what's happening with Kanye, and maybe that's because, you know, he has been such a prolific tweeter. So people kind of feel like they know kind of what he thinks about or mm-hmm. have a little bit more of an idea of who he is. So it's not like, oh, we haven't had like a canned interview with Kanye West in a while, you know, but he must just be that kind of have that presence for people to not really notice that he's not publicly appearing.
Yeah. And I'm totally fine with this, by the way, because I think in my mind, he's just in the studio doing things, just working on the Good Music album, which is supposed to come out in April or something, or a new soul album, which is exciting to me. But anyways, we'll stop talking about Kanye for the good of our listeners and move on to his good friend and quote unquote big brother, Jay-Z. Thoughts on Jay-Z, Emily?
Well, Jay-Z's pretty cool. I taught my little sister to sing H to the Izzo when that was a thing.
Yeah.
She was probably 2 or 3 and was just mimicking me. So I got her to sing that song with me, which was pretty great. It's hard for me to kind of give an overall view of Jay-Z because I really don't know that much of his music. And he's put out a lot of albums.
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Like, I know the most popular acclaimed albums, but not really. I've listened to a lot of the Black Album recently, actually.
Black Album's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's got 11 studio albums, but I mean, The Blueprint in 2001 was where he really caught on as sort of a pop music figure. I mean, in the album before that, which was The Dynasty, there was the I just want to love you or give it to me. Mm-hmm. That's what it was called. Something like that. And, with Pharrell, and that song was just so catchy. It was a hit. But I mean, before that he had, Hard Knock Life. That was like 97 and that was kind of a hit, kind of a crossover hit. I think that was sort of what started his crossoverness. But, as far as like Jay-Z, the pop star, I think it really starts with Izzo.
But, absolutely. I mean, that's where me as a young girl who didn't know very much about hip hop, that's when I recognized Jay-Z as someone I wanted to listen to. Also the Space Jam soundtrack.
Yes. Yeah. What he's still got, what is the double dot?
Isn't it umlaut? Oh, it's over a Y. Is that different?
Yeah. Double dot. I don't know what it's called. I was asking you.
Oh yeah. Umlaut. Over the Y. Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah. So fun. And that's on his first album cover too.
Really?
Yeah.
And he wrote Bugs Bunny's rap, for those that don't know.
Yeah. On the Space Jam soundtrack, there's a song called Buggin' featuring a rap by Bugs Bunny written by Jay-Z, which is amazing. And somehow did not affect his street cred one bit.
No,
I don't know. Like, when the Nas beef was going on, I can't believe Nas wasn't like, you wrote a rap for Bugs Bunny. Like, how could I take you seriously ever? I imagine Jay-Z's comeback would be something like, yeah, I wrote a rap for one of the most iconic cartoon characters of all time. You know, that earns me street cred. He's on starter jackets. Yeah. But do you like Jay-Z's bigger pop singles? You know, like Empire State of Mind, I guess we throw in there, and pretty much any single he's had in the last 5 years have been fairly poppy. Like anything off American Gangster wasn't particularly poppy. Like Blue Magic and Rock Boys were more straight ahead rap records, but.
Oh, yeah. Empire State of Mind is great. Mm-hmm. I sing it all the time. Embarrassingly. Whenever anyone says anything about New York, I'm like, oh, the concrete jungle is made up. I know that's not him, but like, you know. No, Jay-Z is weird because I guess I haven't really taken the time to think about him as much as I do everyone else. I'm just always like, awesome, a new Jay-Z album, a new Jay-Z single. Great. Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
I generally share those opinions, except maybe I'm a little more excited about Jay-Z albums. Nicki Minaj, another female, but this time a rapper female. What do you feel about Nicki or Roman or whatever new persona she is rocking today?
I really like Nicki, but I guess I was hoping that her album would be better.
Yes, and that it wouldn't suck. Is that what you were hoping?
I didn't listen to it really at all.
Yeah, it's really bad.
One of her best, I guess, rap verses, I think, is in a really crappy Usher song. Okay. I don't even remember what it's called, but it's in a Girl Talk song, which makes it listenable for me. So now I just listen to it in the Girl Talk song.
Yeah.
But I always found that to be a shame that, like, one of her best, like, rap verses is hidden in this Usher song that no one will ever listen to.
Yeah. She did an all right. I enjoyed her verse on the, I think it was Big Sean, the remix to Ass. Do you know that song?
Oh, no, I don't know that song. Yeah.
The original song isn't good and the beat is super annoying, but her verse on the remix is pretty decent.
And Monster.
Well, yeah, I figured that. That's why her career is so disappointing, because the first time I heard her was on Monster, and her verse on Monster is really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the elastic flow she has present. You know, like, I'm a Nelly fan, or at least some aspects of Nelly. I enjoy people that are really creative with their flows. I don't really care if it's going all over the place like Nicki's is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I really like that. Sometimes it doesn't work, and it works so well on Monster, and I don't know. That's why everything else is just kind of disappointing. But I guess she was trying to be more of a pop star than, I guess, the Monster thing led on, right?
Yeah, and I'm not really sure how she kind of went over, that pop album went over. Like, did it sell? Do people care?
I would imagine. She's a thing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of like the young girls that first week sales of 375,000, which is pretty wicked. So yeah, she's doing just fine. She's gone platinum in the US, so.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I think the young ladies really love her.
Well, I'm happy for her, because then at least, you know, if her career continues, hopefully she has a chance to be awesomer, like she has proved she can be.
Yeah. I mean, if she wants to, I guess that's always the part of it, you know, and you always want artists you think you like to, you know, do things you like, but maybe she doesn't want that. But
I like that this Wikipedia article specifies that she did a song with Canadian rapper Drake.
Lest someone think he's American.
The accent. We didn't talk about the accent. Oh God, it's so horrible.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Drake's accent.
No.
Drake has the worst accent of all time. I don't know. Like, he talks like a human being when he's being
interviewed. Drake should sound like us, because we're all from the same place.
Yeah. And he decides when he's rapping, he's going to try and sound like T.I. circa 2005. And it doesn't work, Drake. It doesn't work. I know Southern hip hop is really popular, but come on, man. You're from far more north than any of those rappers, you know, like, give it up. You're not from New Orleans. Moving on to Drake's friend, a friend of Drake. We're getting into the more hipstery side of things now, in that these people aren't really on the charts, but they're worth discussing to people our age who listen to music. The Weeknd, who is sort of an associate of Drake. And what are your thoughts on The Weeknd?
Well, to be honest, I've only listened to a few songs. And I actually got into a drunk argument with a girl about, is it The Weeknd or The Weeknd?
I say The Weeknd. I don't let these artists, like, I don't say K-$HA, you know, like,
another band called The Weeknd.
Oh yeah.
So I think it's supposed to be The Weeknd, but whatever.
I'm not doing that.
No. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. And then she was like, well, my boyfriend like helped him produce his album. And then I was like, oh God. So I hope I don't offend anyone. It's just that the first time I heard about The Weeknd, was my very amazing and very hipster friend who does not like pop music and does not like rap and does not watch TV, like this kind of person, was like, I really like this album. And I'm like, I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is good. I like it. I don't understand why you've decided it's better than all other pop music and deserves your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's kind of, it's not really the music that I get pissed off with. It's the people that think that they don't like pop music, but they like The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Because that's okay.
Okay. Fair enough. I generally enjoy The Weeknd, but again, it's sort of very Drake-ish reasons. Like, I enjoy the spacey production and all of that. And I mean, his voice does nothing for me. And I would listen to The Weeknd just as much if I only had instrumental versions of these songs. And my biggest problem with him is, God damn, I hate the lyrics. They're so bad. All of the lyrics are awful. And I just, like, oh, they make me upset. And, I mean, my favorite Weeknd song is his cover of Dirty Diana. And I think it shows, like, Michael Jackson was never the best songwriter, in my opinion. You know, like, I never really cared for lyrics on Michael Jackson songs, generally. But that... The Dirty Diana stands so far and above anything that follows that song on The Weeknd's latest album, I think is very telling of how bad the lyrics are in Weeknd songs.
I could be making this up, but I feel like he got a lot of success very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it was a project he was doing while he was in school.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe that's part of why the lyrics maybe aren't what you would think up to par for somebody that's gotten so much success.
Well, it's not that I don't think success requires somebody to have good lyrics. You know
no,
what
that's
I mean?
True.
Half the people we've talked about, I'm not, probably more than that. I'm not in love with their lyrics or anything, but it's just, I don't know. It's just a type of lyrics that I just don't love. You know, it's, I don't know. Just, I don't care for it. It makes me upset. It just sounds so whiny. I'm done with that. I don't want you to sound so whiny all the time, Abel, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But yeah, the production's crazy. I assume he has a hand in it. I know there is a producer, but I assume the singer also does some work on that. And so good work. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely good work. Thanks for repping Toronto.
Yeah.
It's the people that like you that think that they're too good for most of the things I like that make me upset.
That really aren't all that different. Yeah.
Really? No. Yeah. I was like, this is Drake. What are you guys? Why won't you just... Never mind.
Yeah. He's probably wearing a sweater. He just never gets taken in or never lets pictures be taken of him when he's in the light.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another hipstery thing and I don't know, Childish Gambino. The rap career by actor Donald Glover, who you possibly know as Troy on Community. What do you think about Childish Gambino?
I am a bigger Donald Glover fan than I am a Childish Gambino fan.
Okay, yep. Also me.
Yes. There are some of his songs that I love.
Mm-hmm.
More probably songs that I'm like, that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know that he tries or is, kind of subverting tropes of rap or trying to, you know, if I talk about how much sex I have with girls, it's like, it seems half ironic to me, mm-hmm. but I don't really buy its irony all the time. I kind of can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I think his whole thing, like when he's trying to, you know, quote unquote, say something. I think there's a lyric in one of his songs where it's like these black middle class kids need a role model or something. And I think that's sort of what he's trying to get at when anytime he's trying to have like a message song, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a cool thing to exist. I mean, he's so like so few people are conscious of what he's like aware of him, you know, as a rapper
true.
That it's not going to make a big difference, but I enjoy that it exists. You know?
Yeah.
I don't love his music and he needs to stop singing immediately. he actually needs to send me a copy of the album where he doesn't sing at all. And then maybe I'll listen to more than three songs, but, yeah, I enjoy what he's getting at. And Freaks and Geeks is just a great song.
Yeah, Freaks and Geeks is amazing.
Yeah, objectively great song with an objectively great video.
Yes.
And yeah, he's made some other good stuff, but just, you know, the hipsters, it's weird. It's weird talking to people that never listen to rap music but listen to Childish Gambino. It's always an interesting conversation.
Yeah. I don't think I really talk to people about him because usually when I talk to people they either don't care or have the same opinion as me.
I walk around the streets on my days off and just like a thing of cue cards in my back pocket and I just pull one out and walk up to a random person and say, what do you think about Childish Gambino? So I just look for the most hipstery person and walk up to them and ask.
I will be very stereotypical of everyone he talks about in his songs and say he is very sexy and I would proposition him for sex, absolutely. So maybe he's just being honest when he talks about all the sex he has with girls.
It's possible.
Because who wouldn't want to have sex with him? I would want to have sex with him more for his writing on 30 Rock and his
performance. Fun Cooker. Wrote the Fun Cooker episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
So meat is the new bread.
And just quickly on, I really like the song Outside on Camp, but it's very, it doesn't make any sense to me because he's talking like he grew up in the Bronx or Brooklyn or something. And he definitely grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I supposed to, I think we already talked about this, but yeah. I just, you know, am I supposed to, at first I was confused, like, really? Really? This happened to Donald Glover? No, it didn't. Wait, yeah. No.
I think there's a good episode of the WTF podcast with Marc Maron. It's like a 1 hour conversation with Donald Glover where I think he breaks it down. I mean, I was falling asleep as I was listening to it, but not because it was boring, but because it was like 4 a.m. and I just listen to podcasts while I fall asleep. But anyway, I think the idea is that like it was sort of family that they were close with and saw a lot. And he's talking about a cousin who falls by the wayside of the streets or whatever, gets addicted to drugs or something. The guy they used to take baths with or something. There's a line like that. But, and just finishing up our conversation, I suppose we will talk about somebody that I don't really know where she fits in this list, but is totally worth talking about. Lana Del Rey. You have thoughts on this woman.
I absolutely or girl. Have thoughts on this person. she is, if you don't know, I think her most famous song is called Video Games, where she talks about how she comes home to hang out with her boyfriend and he asks her to play video games with her. And I think it's supposed to be kind of like a hipstery love ballad, if you will. Like, you know, that's all couples do these days is sit around and play video games together. I'll admit that the first time I listened to it was on Hype M, so I couldn't see her. I had no idea who she was. And I was kind of like, why is this song on, you know, the most popular list? Then I saw the video and she's very waify with lots of black eyeliner and big pouty lips. And they're playing all this weird found footage of like old vintage celebrities and random shots of stuff. And I was like, oh, I understand. her career is also manufactured. Her real name is Elizabeth Grant, I believe.
Yeah, or Grace. It's one of the two.
I think it's Grant, but you can look it up.
I'm going to trust you, but okay. I'm also going to look it up.
Elizabeth Grant.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Grant. So I think she has a fairly well-off family, and her dad and her people created the name Lana Del Rey for her, and which happens, you know. I think it's just the fact that she kind of is playing on being so, sorry, I just read in the Wikipedia article that she's been described as a self-styled gangsta Nancy Sinatra, which she's not.
Yeah. I've always gotten a kick out of that explanation or that description, but
that's great. You know. So, you know,
definitely not a gangsta Nancy Sinatra and definitely not self-styled.
None of that is real. I guess all of this kind of fake persona, blah, 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 would be fine if she could sing. But as she proved recently on SNL, she, if you've seen her, if you saw her on SNL, what it seemed like to me is that no one's ever told her that she can't sing. And she was singing the way she probably sang in the studio, but, you know, it went through so much in post that it sounded like it does in the recorded song. And I couldn't watch it all. I felt a little bad for her.
Did you see her twirls though?
Oh God.
Towards the end of whatever her first song, cause I was actually watching that episode live, but, towards the end of her first song, she just like, cause she was wearing this really slim dress and she clearly couldn't move very well in it. And she just, towards the end of the song, just does a 360, just standing in one spot, like slowly does a 360. And then I think she sang a little something and then she did it again.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I got a big kick out of that when I was watching it, but I mean, I didn't think the performance was that bad as far as, I think she gets a little bit more hate for that performance than, you know, maybe she deserves. I think it's more backlash, like Lana Del Rey backlash than actual performance.
I don't know about
that. It's not a good performance, but I'm not going to pretend like I haven't seen way worse on SNL. Like that was pretty, like, I don't know, a little bit below average for standard SNL performance.
That's fair. I guess maybe there hasn't been a lot of her singing live that everyone's been able to see. So maybe that was the first chance for everyone to be like,
Yeah, that's probably true.
we don't like you.
The thing about her that is
I find really interesting is that, and I guess it's mostly in the Born to Die song, is there are these like really well-worn hip hop hip hop staple samples, like these, towards the beginning of the song, especially, there's a sample from Mountain is the band, Long Red is the song. And it's just like someone saying louder, but it's so used in so many hip hop songs. And like a couple quick drum beats and someone saying, yeah. And you can really hear them at the beginning of Born to Die. And those are so well used in hip hop, and just her general detachment and the fact that she's always doing like the hipster picture face and that she's so stylized by people. Like every time I see one of her videos or see her perform, I just think of the Rebel Cell. I think of like, she is everything that hipsters love being combined into one thing. Like, we like hip hop too. Let's throw in these things that people have heard in hip hop songs, might not remember, but we'll throw them in so that they're there, and we'll sell it back to them, and they will eat it up because they, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't, and it's like kind of cinematic music, musically.
It is, yeah. Maybe so. She's like a successful version of what Kesha was supposed to be, in a way.
Yeah,
like a,
that's...
like a hipster pop star that will really appeal to a certain kind of people and is a pop star, but people will still buy her music and like her, and maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, because she hasn't really done a whole lot yet.
No, not at all. I think, I mean, I'm extremely interested in her career. I'm not going to run out and buy her album, but I'm very interested in where it's going to go. So thank you for joining us on our first pop music podcast that doesn't touch on Josie and the Pussycats. So, yeah, we'll be back next week, and I think James will be back, and we'll be talking about The Graduate. Be sure to check out themacguffinmen.com for things that we write, other podcasts. Send us an email at themacguffinmen@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at themacguffinmen. And I don't know, I'm sure there's some other new social media site that's popped up that you can follow us on by now.
Follow them on Pinterest.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
That sounded like way too bizarre of a word for you to make up on the spot, but I would have been really impressed. But yeah, follow us on Pinterest if you can find us. And yeah, check back next week. Thank you for joining me, Emily.
Thanks. It was a treat.
And thank you, listener, for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to The MacGuffin Men. This episode has been brought to you by Lana Del Rey, or whatever. I'll just stand here pouting and look detached. Be sure to check out themacguffinmen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.